belong, you belong, you belong, you belong to the Merry Marble Marching Society. March along, march along to the song of the Merry Marble Marching Society.
Welcome to World Infinity. We are here to talk about D23 2019. So much Marvel news, like way more than we even anticipated there would be. So we've kind of broken it up to talk about each section, about the movies, about Disney Plus, about the parks, and about some of the toys that we had learned about. So joining me as always is Rob.
Hey.
Yeah, and you had a couple of pieces of business we want to get to before we dig into the all the announcements from D23.
So as everyone's been listening, I love these right now, these crazy, like, insane clickbait stories. and some of these had to do with some other stuff. So one, there was this really funny story that came out of MovieWeb.com posted this, that Paul Rudd is right now filming, I guess, scenes for Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
right.
And apparently there was a rumor that said that here a bunch of people were talking to him. And he let out that, oh, yeah, Ant-Man 3 script? Yeah, it's all done. We're just waiting for, you know, stuff. And apparently the story was that he said this and everybody around him went, wait, what? He realized, oh, wow. Should not have said anything. And basically just was like totally backpedaled the whole thing. Which I think is kind of funny, which, you know, as we'll talk about as we get when we get to the D23 stuff, you know, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah, familiar faces are going to appear in Phase 5, and we kind of figured that. But I thought that was interesting. But the one that really made me laugh was, and this comes from WeGotThisCovered.com, that Sylvester Stallone is rumored to be starring in a Guardians 3000 TV series.
Oh, see, I think that's way, way out there. First of all,
of course it is.
I mean, like, in the terms of the realms of possibility and stuff, that would be so crazy expensive for them to do for them. I mean, now we've seen that they're willing to spend a lot of money, but to do everything from scratch for a Marvel thing. Yeah. I don't know. That one seems way, way out there.
That would be cool though.
It would be kind of cool, but I don't know. But now with all the other names they put in there, it's sort of like, oh yeah, all the other famous people around there. Yeah. I don't think there'd be a way that you actually could get all those people together to do a television series.
Yeah. It seemed outrageous, but you know, crazy things are afoot right now.
That's true. At this point, with all the announcements that came out, it's sort of like, oh wow, they're really shooting for the rafters.
So I did see, and then this is just a weird a throwback to the Doctor Strange movie. There was this interesting story on comicbook.com that talked about, and they confirmed this, Scott Derrickson, who's the director of Doctor Strange. He threw in, there is the scene where Stephen Strange goes into the first time he travels into the ethereal universe, right? It is a literal shot for shot, 5-second callback to a scene from Contact.
Oh, interesting.
Which is from a movie from 1997 with Matthew McConaughey and
Matthew McConaughey before Jodie Foster.
Exactly right. I should have said Jodie Foster first. Jodie Foster was losing the
and
name.
Jake Busey. Let's go down the whole cast. John Hurt. I really love that movie.
Oh, wow. You do got everybody in there. So Jodie Foster, she's traveling through this crazy, like, you know, spacecraft that these aliens have sent us the plans to. Mm-hmm. It's literally exactly the same. It's the same effect, the same motion, the same everything. And yeah, Derrickson said, yeah, I'm a film buff and I love that movie. And yeah, we put it in there on purpose.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
So that's cool. I was like, oh.
Yeah, we'll it gives see. People a reason to go watch Contact and to go watch Doctor Strange.
And to watch Doctor Strange, exactly. And I love the fact that we're still finding new things in these movies.
Yeah, right?
So Spider-Man. A couple of, obviously we talked about in the last episode, we talked about all the craziness.
Yep.
The two stories that really kind of went out to me was, basically Kevin Feige, like, well, you know, this was never meant to last forever.
Yeah. Which sounds very final.
Yes.
Like it doesn't sound like, yeah, we're talking things. Hey, who knows? You know, things. Yeah. I mean, it was sort of like, yeah, well, you know, it was never gonna last forever. What are you going to do?
I mean, literally like he did something and this is legit, but he mentioned this apparently at Entertainment Weekly and he's like, you know, I'm feeling about Spider-Man gratitude and joy. Like, wow. He's gone through, he's now in the last stage of grief. He's already moved beyond everything, which I was like, wow, that's really legit. And here was my only other funny comment to say this leads into D23 is hilarious that Tom Holland was at D23
mm-hmm.
on stage, just not for Marvel.
Right. Yeah, he was there for Pixar.
Yeah, so I'm sure that they met in the hall somewhere.
It'd be like, yeah, they went out for drinks and they have a big toast.
You have to think was more than one meeting that took place this past weekend.
Oh, yes.
So anyway, that's it.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. So, okay, so let's dig into it. So for those of you who don't know, D23 is the big Disney convention. And it was one of those things where it was just originally started as just kind of like almost like a fan club meetup. I mean, it was still Disney, so it was still big. But that was just, you would just go and see the part for the new rides and maybe see some clips from a new animated movie. And then when Disney started sort of buying everything, it now had become almost ground zero for big, big cultural shifts. And so now this is the biggest one they've ever had because they have these incredibly huge announcements and stars coming to the show. So it has really gone from just little fan show not put on by fans, but for the hardcore fans to an incredibly important moment for tons of fandoms. I mean, like, we could talk for an hour just about the Star Wars stuff they announced.
Yes.
But of course, there are plenty of podcasts to cover that. And so I'm sure you can find plenty of those out there. But we're going to focus on the Marvel news, which there's enough to talk about there. But there's so many things. So, yeah, so that's what I said. So at the top of the show, we're going to talk about the movie announcements, all the stuff that happened at Disney Plus, which I'll probably take the bulk of it because there's so much more stuff we've learned there. And then a little bit about the new stuff that's coming to the Disney parks. And then we have a little bit of toy news. So this should be quite a lot of stuff for us to get through. So let's talk about movies. The first thing that comes up is we have our first Phase 5 movie. They have confirmed that the Phase 5 will, I'm not sure if it will begin with, but the first Phase 5 movie we know of is Black Panther 2. Unsurprising to anyone, Ryan Coogler came out and made the announcement that, and also gave us a release date of May 6th, 2022.
That's the anchor position.
Yeah,
which is
That's what a going from a February movie to a May movie, like what a vote of confidence in Black Panther.
Absolutely. No, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they didn't say anything else, but it was a nice tease. And plus it was a nice confirmation that,
exactly. We get to see the logo and that was about it. But basically just, sort of putting their flag in the sand saying, yes, we are doing it. It's coming.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's and nothing, obviously nothing else. I mean, it's too early to talk about anything else with it.
Yeah.
But no, awesome. Other than all those, Namor rumors, but whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, I thought that was great.
They brought out the Eternals again. So not all of them, but like the majority of them, because that's a big cast. And we got to see some concept art of them, what they'll look like in their, I'm going to say costumes, but they probably don't refer to them as costumes in the movie. It's probably their uniforms.
So I was completely surprised they showed that. I'm surprised that they felt comfortable enough to show that kind of stuff this early on.
Yeah.
And then, so Kit Harington, that's news, right?
That was news. Yeah, so Kit Harington has joined the cast. Kit Harington is not going to be playing Eternal. He's actually going to be playing the Black Knight. The Black Knight is an interesting character with a long history. We're not going to dig into that. As we get closer and focus on the Eternals, we'll get into that because that character is fairly convoluted. I'm curious to see how they're going to sort of tie it into the Eternals. And they also announced Gemma Chan is joining the cast too.
So I have questions on that.
Which is weird.
Yes. Yeah. She's already in the MCU.
She's already in the MCU. So that's the question. Is she going to be playing the same character?
And the same character, we mean the one of the
Kree soldiers from Kree Captain soldiers Marvel.
From Captain Marvel. That was on the team.
Yeah. I can't remember what the
Carol was on, right. With Jude Law and stuff.
Right, or is she playing someone new? Now, Gemma Chan is terrific, and she, even in her very small role, she did a great job. She's, you might know her from Crazy Rich Asians, which she had a much bigger role. So it's great that they're giving her another feature role, but that's the thing they did not say, is she's reprising her role, or we're like, she's not going to be blue in this one, so we're fine.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time. I mean, they did it with Alfre Woodard.
Yeah.
Has done dual roles.
So they had a pretty good, so the Eternals thing I think was great. I mean, that was more information than certainly I expected. I did not expect them to bring the entire cast out, which I think really got people starting to, at least now at this early stage, getting excited about it. And then and then they moved into the Black Widow, right? The
So still no trailer. I kind of thought there might be a teaser, but still no. They played apparently this similar to the footage they played at San Diego, with a couple of new scenes they had added in, and now we have confirmation that Red Guardian is in the movie because they saw David Harbour is in it in full costume in his red Captain America-esque suit. Another fight scene, more of Taskmaster, get to see more of him, and then it ended with Black Widow in a white outfit. So that was interesting.
And I did not. Is that what everyone said, or is that because they haven't released that yet?
They have not released it yet. No, that footage is not out there. And you know, despite my intense Googling, I could not find it anyway. So the Marvel sniffers are really good at finding that footage and shutting it down really fast. They had said that some of the footage from the panels would be released on Monday, but they did not specify which footage from which panels.
Right. Did you see the poster?
I did. The poster was it shows Black Widow. Similar to the poster they did for Star Wars, is that it is an artistic rendering, not a full photo thing. But it's Black Widow in a new sort of Black Widow outfit, which is interesting that she's in a cool, custom, awesome armor stuff before she shows up in her boring black leathers.
Well, you know what? Okay, so here's
I don't know why she lost the cool suit. But then we get to see a full face shot of Taskmaster in there, and also David Harbour's mask for Red Guardian in the side of it, too.
And Florence Pugh. Florence Pugh is on the left side. So here's what I thought was interesting about the poster. The poster, it's cool. It's kind of got the hourglass Black Widow symbol.
Yeah,
she's sort of Taskmaster's in the upper red part, and then you've got everybody on the sides. So one thing, the reason I'm surprised people are saying white is this outfit, and obviously if you're listening, you can go ahead and Google it right now.
Oh, sure. Yeah, take a look.
It's very much Wasp-like. Mm-hmm. It has the same creative director who designed this. But yeah, instead of black, it's silver and black. And I'm wondering if that's why it shows up as white.
I thought that there was actually in the footage description, like she's in a white outfit at one point. I don't think it was that one. I think that is white, maybe because it's Russia and they're in the snow.
Right. Oh, maybe that could be. I love the fact that it still has the Black Widow belt buckle, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And David Harbour looks great. But what I thought was interesting is he's on the one side looking away to the right. And then you have Florence and these other like three other women. And it looks like three diverse women. And I'm wondering if they're trying to say like, well, in the left side are the Black Widows.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That might be reading too much.
This goes along with Mark Waid. Did a year on Black Widow and touched on some of that stuff too. And I think we've seen her in the white outfit in that same kind of run. Phil Noto did a big cover of her in a white outfit that got pretty popular. And so, in the Mark Waid run, she did go back to Russia and visited the Red Room and sort of saw that they had continued on with some of it. And she met some of the Black Widows who were following her.
Right.
Like not the older ones, but like some of the newer ones. And sort of she had to try and shut down the orphanage and stuff, too. It was a pretty good spy thriller. So I don't know if they took any inspiration from that. But, you know, they've shown that they like to go through those things and pick and choose bits from the storylines that have already been established and sort of remix and create their own, which I think is great.
But I'll tell you, as far as the trailer goes, I'm not in the context of everything they talked about. And I'm not just talking about Marvel. I'm talking about everything Disney did. Yeah, they got a lot. They got time. There is so much they have to promote in the next 4 months.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say, and I'm going to tell you this, like, okay, just a minor segue real quick from Marvel. I'm still a little scared about a 3.5 week difference between Frozen 2 and The Rise of Skywalker. And I'm just going to say, like, when you see all that, you're like, oh my God, everybody.
Sort of like, at this point, Disney could just stop for the year.
Yes.
And still be so deep into the black to cover everything else. Lion King just crossed $1.5 billion.
Yes. It's too much. Anyway, I mean, I can see what they're waiting on that. But anyway, no, the Black Widow stuff, I think, hey, wow. I think we've learned some great new things. I think seeing this poster art is awesome. It's totally exciting. I'm so looking forward to seeing her story.
And that's about it for movie news, right? Anything else that we missed?
No, that was it. No, that was as far as the Marvel Studios stuff. That was it.
Yeah, Marvel Studios stuff was pretty small because obviously they had released all of Phase 4 at San Diego Comic-Con, or so we thought. Well,
yeah, or also that. Because it turns out they had a lot of other things to discuss.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about the Disney's next money printing machine, Disney Plus.
Oh my God.
So before we get into the announcement stuff, I want to talk a little bit about what we know about the format of it. So we know, like, we have a release date and we have a price point, and that's all great. But they actually talked more about the interface, and they actually showed some of how it works. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, wow, it's a good thing that Disney and Apple are good friends, because if I was in the design firm at Apple, I would be so angry, because their design is exactly Apple TV.
Oh, yes, like, yes.
The squares, everything looks just like it. And they also have the slide left pop-up menu from Netflix. So it's like Disney is just going to everybody. It's like, yeah, we'll just you guys did all the hard work. We'll just take it from here. But
we're talking as far as this, it's November 12th. Is that November the launch 12th. Date? Yep. And yep. $699 for the basic set.
Okay. Right. Or you can buy a year, I think, for
$80 or something 80? Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So they that's on a Tuesday for whatever reason. They showed that you could have multiple profiles. So you could have, like, every family member can have their, I think four is what they showed on the screen. So everybody, just like Netflix, you can have your own ones, unlike Amazon Prime, which, you know, at this point, guys, pick up your game.
Oh, no, that's, yeah.
They, so you can have this. You are allowed four simultaneous streams.
That's key. Okay?
So every one of those can watch at the same time, as opposed, that's double what Netflix will do.
Unless you have to go up to like $17 a month for Netflix or something similar to that. Yeah.
Right. And free 4K upgrade. So if you have 4K, it'll stream it in 4K for you automatically for free, for the same cost, for the same $8.
Man,
that's amazing. That, like, what a, and so, yeah, I wanted, so knowing that, I want to talk. We talked a little bit about this when Rob and I got together this weekend. Tell a little bit about when you started doing the math.
So I started thinking when they started announcing, and, you know, of course you're a fan of other things. You know about the Obi-Wan announcement, and we're like, you know, how does that work? I mean, maybe, you know, is it really worth it to them to blow $150 million, $200 million on the production of a series? You can make $400 or $500 million, right, at the box office as a movie. What is the math of this works out? And I was thinking to myself, well, you know, okay, basically $7 a person, okay? Mm-hmm. $7 a person, what's their goal for total amount of people? And it's got to be legit 100 million people. It's sure. not going to be that at the beginning, but
no.
That's what – it's somewhere in their paperwork has to say we are at after 100 – globally – 100 million people. And I'm saying to myself, well, you know, 100 million, $7, that's only $700 million over the year. Like, you know, how that's only, I mean, how do you make your money back? And then it hit us. No, that's not 700 million a year. That would be 700 million a month. And that's when you realize
1 month would pay for all of the series.
Okay. I think I see where this is going.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, as we sort of looked and broke it down, we're like, oh, they're not out to compete with Netflix. They're out to destroy it.
No, Netflix obliterated.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. And I'm looking, I'm a fan of Netflix. There's shows I love
Netflix of course.
That are,
but, of course.
I mean, that doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, like that. And like I say, this is what I like, though. Competition is great for the end user, for us, because everyone else will be trying harder.
Well, but does that mean? And here's I guess though. Then the concern of that is, I mean, I can already see right now. Okay, I only have so many hours in a week that I can actually watch TV shows. Right.
Sure.
Well, Disney Plus is going to take up like 85% of that.
Yeah.
Realistically, for me, like I'm sure for a lot of people, like. Okay, there isn't going to be time. I mean, it's not just going to be competitive. Like, I think this down the road, this is Disney establishing themselves as the fifth network.
Yeah, I suppose.
Or the sixth network, whatever you want to, depending on how many networks you consider are main networks, if networks even mean anything to you anymore.
That's right. Like, and there's nothing to stop them from when they showed off, they're still basically sticking to their islands. So when you load up the screen, it's Disney, meaning like Walt Disney Pictures stuff, and then it's Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, National Geographic.
Yeah.
So I sort of, and then, and in each of those then are the subcategory. So like you go to Star Wars, all the Star Wars stuff is there. You go into Marvel, all the Marvel things were there. So like the series, the movies, all that stuff will be there. Also, extras. So yay! Something right. I've been worried about and concerned about. Yes, they brought up the Captain Marvel menu and they scrolled down and there were extras. So there's all the DVD extras, all the bonus stuff is there as well. I don't want to be 100%, but there is something and that makes me very happy.
Well, and one side note that I thought was interesting. I know we had talked a little bit about some of the things that weren't going to be there. And they've talked about like in year one, what they're doing, how many movies they're going to release. But I didn't realize that the entire Pixar collection is available day one.
Yeah, including all the shorts.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't have to buy all those DVDs or those iTunes.
Right. But when I look at it, then it makes me go, okay, well, I say we could get into the whole discussion about versus streaming stuff too. Right. I have a lot of thoughts about that. But you look at it and you go, where are the Simpsons? And it's like, oh, they're there. They showed in the scroll bar as they went through, there was the Simpsons there, but like they don't have an island yet. So there's nothing to stop them from adding more islands to have an Avatar island. As they add more stuff, this is all the family friendly stuff. So, I mean, like there's not going to be an Aliens Predator thing or whatever. All the stuff they have is going to be PG-13 and under. I don't think we're going to be seeing, I mean, I wonder if they'll even stream Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I mean, that might be borderline. We're not going to see, I'm going to take us way back, like Big Business starring Bette Midler on there or anything. And there's no
Rated R stuff.
I'm trying to think, what's a Disney Radar movie? There are very few. But I mean, I guess if you dig deep into we're not going to see Pulp Fiction on Disney Plus.
Right, right.
Yeah, I would imagine they'll probably. I would think they would probably do another channel. They would probably have a separate thing. But right. I don't know. At this point, everything they're doing is aimed at kids and families.
Deadpool's going to have to live somewhere. Going to have to live somewhere.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying, though, because it's not there. Like, there's not a place for it there. So will they create a Touchstone streaming service that'll put all that stuff under? I don't know. But there's a lot. Now they have a very robust Rated R library now with the Fox acquisition that will just be sitting there, and you kind of have to start wondering, all right, where do you put Die Hard? Where do you put all the Planet of the Apes movies? You have all those too.
Oh, come on. That's insane when you start breaking it down. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, the joke about the alien queen being a Disney princess, it's legit. So there's nothing but expansion for that point. So I'm curious to see where they go from there. But all right, so let's get into the announcements then. Okay, so they first started talking about these shows we know about and giving us a little more information. So first they talked about was the biggest enigma on the whole map, WandaVision.
Oh my god.
Oh boy. They talked more about it, and I still don't know what that show is.
So have you seen you saw the art?
Yes. Yeah, it's a very 1960s sitcom, domestic life, sort of sitting on the couch.
It is. I mean, it's literally, it looks like a Norman Rockwell painting of the Vision dressed in his colors, but instead a Mr. Rogers-esque outfit on a couch with her in her perfect, June Cleaver. Which, my God, if you don't know what that reference is, believe it or not.
Oh, I know. There's a bunch of stuff that's going to come flying out here if you don't know your TV history.
It's this crazy just image of da-da. But the funniest thing is you saw the shadows.
Uh-huh.
The shadows in the drawing? Okay, you got to look at the drawing again.
Now I don't know what you're talking about.
So this was hidden. There's two things hidden in this image. It's this basically them in this wonderful little Leave It to Beaver house. Uh-huh. The television that's in front of them is glowing red.
Oh.
So the image that is coming from it is red, and the image, that light is casting their shadows on the back wall. It's the two of them in these, and again, Ward and June Cleaver, 1950s look. But the shadows are Vision and not just Scarlet Witch, comic book Scarlet Witch.
Oh, with the point, the headdress?
The points coming out of her head.
Oh, interesting.
So here's the deal. It comes down to this. yes, in the aftermath of Endgame, I really believe this. She has decided, let me take it a step farther. She is the multiverse of madness.
Yeah, they said that this, the events of this show will lead directly into her appearance in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
I literally think she has created, that's it. She can't, she, you know, the little talk with Hawkeye and stuff at the lake at Tony's funeral, that lasted about a month. And then she said, nope, I want my vision back. I think she basically tears the fabric of time and space. And she creates this insane space, and it goes bad, and the only person to help fix it is Doctor Strange.
Interesting. They're pulling a little bit from the... There actually was a recent comic book run of The Vision that was very widely read and regarded, won the number of awards, where The Vision goes to suburbia and creates a family for himself. So he creates a wife and he creates kids, and they try to live a quiet domestic life. And of course, it does not go well, as artificial intelligence is, as they sort of, their lives start to unravel in very ways. So it's a kind of a bit of the, what is humanity and what are the differences in artificial intelligences and suburbia and the dark side of that and that. So it was my favorite storyline, but it was actually, I recognize the quality of it. So I think they're maybe pulling some of that sort of vibe over to this one and then combining it with that. I really hope it's much more complicated and weird than just Wanda goes crazy.
I'm so totally just pulling something there from what I see, but I got to tell you, I'm super curious.
But then it gets even more bizarre because they announced some of their supporting cast and they're bringing back Agent Wu, Randall Park from Ant-Man and the Wasp, and Darcy, Kat Dennings from Thor and Thor the Dark World. Oh my god.
Awesome.
And they brought them both out. I was like, what? It's sort of like, and you should still look at the cast list and go, what? What is this show? Like,
so
how in the world are they folding them into it?
Well, okay, because I think that Kat Dennings, Darcy's character, the Darcy Lewis character, has to deal with what, because what has she worked on? She's worked on When Dimensions Open. And when things happen. So I think there's something with that. Randall Park, I'm completely shocked by.
Yeah.
Because number one, shocked happy because I love that character. And Jimmy Woo deserves to be, you know, like Melinda May from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Those are characters that deserve to be explored.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I assume then that there's not an Aquaman 2? Is that?
I don't know. I'd say right now that who knows what's going on the other side.
Don't tell me that they didn't sew up his contract.
Well, right after his success on Netflix, actually, it's like right now he's in a hot commodity.
Yes, he is. Yes,
which is great. Yeah. And then they added another cast member, Catherine Hahn. Now, Catherine Hahn is one of those actors where you hear the name and you go, yeah, I don't know who that is. But I tell you, she's one of the hardest working actresses in Hollywood right now. If you saw her, you'd go, oh. She was in Parks and Rec. She did a Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But most importantly to us in the nerd community, she was the voice of Dr. Octopus in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's it. She's terrific. She's one of my favorite working actresses. So having her, and she's coming in as the, deep reference alert, Gladys Kravitz type character. She's the nosy neighbor, like from Bewitched. So she's going to be the one that go like, "What's going on at those?"
Hi, Wanda. Do you have some flour?
Right.
Can I borrow some flour? Oh, what's going on here? What's Befriend doing?
Hey, did your husband just face through that wall?
What's that yellow thing in his forehead?
Yeah. I honestly don't understand what that show is, but I'm fascinated by this because every time it makes it that much better. Like, great. What?
Here's the deal. That show is an intentional train wreck you want to see.
Yes.
That's what it is. Yeah. I'm excited.
Awesome. Yeah. It's going to be fun. Okay, so then we move on to Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Also, the big announcements of that were about casting. First of all, they have brought back Emily Van Camp. So Agent 13, Sharon Carter, will be joining the group. I think that was a smart thing because that sort of folds back into what's going on with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
And then the one that was really exciting to us Marvel zombies was Wyatt Russell as John Walker. Okay, So I, like I said, we'll dig in a little bit as we get closer, but let me just give you a small little bit about why this is exciting. So John Walker was originally a super patriot, and then he eventually became Captain America. So Captain America at one point got disillusioned with what was going on. I think this was kind of during like post Nixon kind of times, and was like, I can't serve this country anymore. I can't serve this government anymore. I'm a man of the people, and gave up Captain America and became Nomad. Well, the government is like, well, we still need the Captain America. So they hired Super Patriot, like this guy, John Walker, to become the new Captain America. And he was very much very right wing, jingoistic, like whatever you say, Mr. Nixon. Like he was very much like they do whatever they want. And things did not go well. It all sort of fell apart and he kind of went a little bit crazy. And then it fell out. Now he's been kicking around for a while. Mostly what he's known as is the U.S. agent. So if you ever see a Captain America that's like black and red with like sort of stripes across his chest, that's U.S. agent. I think that's where they're going with this storyline. My guess is that the government will decide that this is who they want to be Captain America, not this guy who flies around with wings. And I think that's where the conflict is going to come in.
Well, you know, you got to wonder then, what is that set? What political climate is that set against? Which, I mean, okay, you're in 2023 now. Because you know, Winter Soldier, you know what I mean? Like everything's like, you know, behind the Cold War or behind these things that you can kind of understand. They're in very uncharted territory with this,
mm-hmm.
which I think is cool because, again, you know, depending on what happens. But I find that interesting. And I should note, from what they showed, this is coming out before WandaVision. This is the first of the Disney Plus Marvel shows.
Right? Yes.
Got it. Yeah, no, the casting. I think the casting sounds great. And yeah. They definitely know their source material.
It's going to be, it's going to be, they're going to do some stuff that we expect and some stuff that we really don't expect. So yeah, that's going to be, I'm going to see what the ride of that is going to be. And then folding Zemo into all that. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Okay, so then they went on to their first animated series, What If? So as we talked about, and we'd heard the rumor, but then it was confirmed that the first story of What If is going to be what if Peggy Carter became Captain America. So she becomes Captain Carter. And actually they brought out Haley Atwell to talk about it and showed off a little piece of the animation. Now, I haven't seen it, but they did put out the piece of concept art, or probably it looks like a piece of the show of Captain Carter, like, sort of buffed out holding a shield. It's a very stylized animation, which I like. It isn't like typical sort of cell animation. It doesn't look like the current Marvel Spider-Man animated series or anything like that.
But it looked glorious.
Yeah. I mean, it looks really awesome. Cool.
Yes.
And apparently it got a huge reaction from the crowd. So they love that. And so that's going to be the first one coming out. So, and they talked more about a lot of the other actors they got to come back and reprise the roles of these variations on the story. So that's very, very cool.
I think that's a show we're going to be talking about a lot.
Yeah. I think it's going to open a lot of ideas.
Yes.
So, and then you'd think that would be enough that they'd be like, all right, we're super excited. Yes. I'm subscribing now, but
now we still have, we still have between WandaVision and What If we have Loki.
Yes.
And then after What If you have Hawkeye.
Yeah.
They
just basically said six episodes, which we knew. It's
right.
There's a time travel element involved or right. multiple timelines. Like he's going to be doing stuff in the timeline and all that. And then, they really didn't say anything new about Hawkeye.
Are five shows, man. That's enough. That's enough.
Like that's enough. Especially for you know, this phase. But no.
Instead, wait, there's more?
It turns out phase four is bigger than we thought it was. And the screen expands, and Kevin Feige revealed three more television series that they are doing. In order of release, those three are Ms. Marvel, Moon Knight, and She-Hulk.
Oh, that's just...
And from everything we gathered, these are new live-action series that will then tie into the movies, because he specifically mentioned Ms. Marvel is something that Kevin Feige has talked about for years. Like, this is something he wanted to do. And in his talk, he said, Ms. Marvel is about a Muslim girl living in New York.
Kamala Khan,
who... becomes a superhero, has adventures, and eventually goes on to appear in the movies. So he actually said in his thing that her, the plan is for her to do this series and then to be in, featured in one of the movies coming up. So it wasn't like, oh, we just put her on TV and, like, you know, kind of like a Daredevil thing. Like, oh, no, we'll just put her off to the side. Like, no, no, no. He specifically said this is leading into her big screen debut.
Which no one knows what, but obviously.
Yeah, no one knows when. Yeah, it won't be until Phase 5. But, yeah, or maybe not. I mean, like, but I don't know where else she could pop in that would be organic. Because Kamala Khan is actually an Inhuman. Technically, she was. That's how she got her powers. But I don't know how they're going to be treating that now. Because now that they have the rights to mutants again, can we say the M word? I don't know. I don't know. Is that the doorway to the X-Men? I don't know.
The future is clear, coming into focus.
Yeah. So Moon Knight, he said, and actually, I give the Marvel people good. They synopsized Moon Knight way better than I ever could. So if you go find that, like, he does a perfect sum up. I'm like, oh yeah, he said in like 40 words what I took, you know, like 300 words to get across. But basically, Mark Spector, mercenary who dies and is resurrected by the Moon God Khonshu. Or is he? So it becomes this question of, like, is he a superhero, a supernatural avenger of justice, or is he insane? And that will be what the series is.
So the mummy returns in the MCU.
Yeah, potentially.
I'm oversimplifying. Yeah, but to a degree.
The idea that they had in the Mummy Returns of, like, that resurrected hero or whatever, like the Egyptian god choosing an avatar on Earth and it being this guy, and you know, again, this question, is he a superhero or is he insane or both? And then and he said is Jennifer Walters, cousin of the Hulk, who is becomes there, and he says that there is no longer only one Hulk in the MCU.
Which, of course, though, I laughed. Okay, so I laughed several ways when I read and saw this. Yeah. One, because, okay, cool, Hulk. Mm-hmm. And plus She-Hulk, yeah, which is awesome, right? But also, so we found a loophole in our universal contract.
That's right.
And
we can't do it.
This is one way in which we can continue to use the Hulk, yeah, but without having to make any Hulk-centric movies.
Yeah, She-Hulk is a great character because the nice thing about She-Hulk, until current storyline, Jennifer Walters is Jennifer Walters all the time. She just, like, looks green sometimes. That was what was cool. She's not the split persona that Bruce Banner is. So she's the same person. She just, like, when she turns into She-Hulk, she is just, well, greener, stronger, more confident, you know, basically more plussed on everything else. Like, it's kind of like, but everybody, it's an open secret. Like, she doesn't conceal it at all. So Jennifer Walters herself is a lawyer, and then She-Hulk is the adventure part, but she doesn't try and keep the two sides, like, nobody knows one thing or the other. So she's been a great character for a long time. Only recently have they started playing up the idea that there's that she's Hulk smash. Like, for whatever reason, she's got new powers recently in the comics that she's more gamma irradiated, so she's turned monosyllabic. Because she had a big trauma that happened to her too, and so she, for a while there, she was like gray and monosyllabic. But now she sort of has come back around. But they're still playing a little bit with that. But I like it much better when she's just Jennifer Walters and extra.
So so when you saw all this, mm-hmm, what do you gather from this?
I really think that he is looking at the full roster of stuff and going, okay, these characters I'm interested in, I wanted to love, that maybe wouldn't be able to sustain a whole movie to the level that some of these other ones are, and I now get to explore them in a bigger thing and also get to sort of weave back and forth in a way I haven't before. But I also was like, but was that venue ever closed to you? I mean, I like that Disney Plus, but, like, you really could have done any of these series on any of the existing deals you had before. Like, what was stopping you from putting any of these shows on ABC or on Netflix?
Well, Netflix, we know.
Well, Netflix now.
In hindsight, no, of course. Like, you look at it now. Yeah.
I don't know.
This really, no, I got to tell you something. Like, I really can't. Okay, so the two things I really got from this was number one, I mean, Disney Plus is setting itself. It is going to be, if this is a success, this is going to be your right now. If I were CBS, NBC, mm-hmm. or well, ABC, not them, because they already own ABC. Yeah. This is a total change in not just the tradition of network programming. This is a change forward of what entertainment becomes.
Yeah.
I know I'm sounding like crazy. No, like because for real,
Netflix started this in that the numbers don't matter. Like the whole idea we've been taught our whole lives of Nielsen and the demographic and the share and stuff, that number no longer matters. And this has really just put that entirely to rest. Like what is the measure of success of these shows? We never know. Yeah. Like it really comes down to cultural penetration. Are we talking about it? Well, then it's a success.
Right. Yes. No, absolutely. Because the money's there.
It's never going to release those numbers. Just like Netflix never released those numbers.
Right. And then the second thing that just hit me was that, okay, so A-Force is definitely in phase five.
Yeah. I mean, all the pieces are there.
If you're adding Ms. Marvel and She-Hulk, yeah. You absolutely have A-Force.
How Valkyrie comes out of Love and Thunder.
Yes, and the Mighty Thor.
The Mighty Thor. How they end that one too?
And again, I gotta tell
you, suddenly that movie I hadn't awesome. Thought about at all is the movie I want to see most.
yes. No, this is really you can.
And I hope they come with a better name than that, because once again, right now there is a real dearth of good quality names for teams, for movies. Like the name game has really bottomed out lately, guys. I mean, marketing department, if you're the ones behind this, step it up.
But it definitely, what you got from this is, the thing I cannot get over overall was just, I cannot believe what a monolith Disney Plus is going to become. Mm-hmm. And it's going to become it within the first 30 days. Yeah. And it just will. And oh, we didn't mention that they did announce that all the shows are going to be, they're going to be episodic releases. They're not going to be a dump of episodes.
Yes, they will be weekly things. So they'll keep your subscriptions on for longer, because, you know, the every episode of every episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier will not be out in a month. You'll have to.
Right.
You do your subscription for the next month as well, or wait until it's all out and then do it. But
and I really got to tell you, I mean, as much as I sometimes enjoy binge watching, mm-hmm. That's not the way to do it.
Yeah, it'll be good for us too, because we can do weekly recaps.
We could totally.
So really, they're doing it thank for you, us.
For the weekly recaps. Thank you, everyone. So, just overwhelming. Like, wow. Mm-hmm. And if that was all they mentioned at D23,
that would be enough.
We would have been beside ourselves.
But there's more. There's more. So then our next section we're going to talk about are the Disney parks. So they have officially released the name of where the Marvel things are going to be at the parks, and it is called Avengers Campus. Now, we talked about this a couple weeks back, but basically what happens is they can't call it Marvel Land or Marvel World or anything because of a weird licensing thing that they signed with Universal back in the day. I won't get into that whole story again, but this way they can promote these Avengers Campus things all over the world, and they don't have to worry about having it change names. And so, you know, it's easy to print t-shirts and have them all around when you don't have to change the name every time place they go, just like Galaxy's Edge did. They said the first ride that'll come out, they didn't name it, but it is going to be a Spider-Man ride. It is some kind of web slinger vehicle. They actually put out some concept art that shows there's spider drones involved, and somehow you're like riding in the car as Spider-Man's swinging around you. And I think some kind of interactive element where there you may be like shooting, like you might be web slinging yourself, like shooting webs at enemies or something. And then they revealed there's going to be a restaurant is going to be Pim's Test Kitchen. So apparently some kind of like a big and small food, food of different sizes that will be there.
That's funny. That's pretty
funny.
And
they've even announced a phase two for the Avengers Campus. And that was where it's going to be I think what's going to be the new gold standard for rides, and it's going to be an Avengers ride, and it's supposed to be something unbelievable. And they put out a piece of concept art of that it showed you're going to be traveling around the world fighting some kind of enemy, and the concept art has all the Avengers on the screen, like fighting all these things, and they look like bugs. So my first thought was, is that the Brood, which are the aliens-esque aliens from X-Men, that you could like be basically killing bugs. And then the guests are wearing some sort of jetpack. So this goes along with some of the concept art that has been put out of kind of the same design as a little bit to the Harry Potter ride, where you're sort of attached to it, but maybe even more individual, like you're attached to one thing and then it swings you around like the big screen as you're going around to it. But they say whatever it is, it's something brand new that Disney is cooking up that's going to be unlike anything we've ever seen before. So yeah, let's get
Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah, exactly. Rise of the Resistance will be the new gold standard, and then this Avengers ride, which is probably like, I guess
this will take
2022 right. If we're lucky, is going to be the platinum standard.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, like, there's the concept art is like they shows like there's the all the Stark tech is there, and there's gonna be a Quinjet, and there'll be like Spider-Man webs hanging from things, like as if he had just gone by, and Peter Parker is going to be doing all of this this WEB, like his web technology integration with everything. I mean, it's going to be amazing. Unfortunately, we had to lose the Bugs Land in order for it to happen, but you know, that's the
right,
you know, Disneyland will never be completed as long as there's imagination left in the world. And
do you know a little side note, do you know that they've already repurposed one of the Bugs Land rides?
No,
where the Flicks, it was the Flicks Flyers, and it was the one where you were basically like you went inside a little like a Chinese takeout box or so, and it was like a balloon ride where it just went up and down and rolled around. Yeah. They already took that ride. They've already resurfaced it. It's already been reinstalled and is opened. They turned it into an inside and out ride that's inside the Incredicoaster.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
At California Adventure. It's the same ride. Yeah. I mean, it's exactly the same ride with a new coat of paint, a really cool, like, inside out control center wrapped around it. It's cool.
Yeah, so like that's still a couple years off, because obviously right now all the focus on Galaxy's Edge and getting Rise of Resistance open and all that stuff. And so, but all these parks are under construction.
The choo-choo train.
I guess the third thing to mention is the next one to open will be the Guardians of the Galaxy ride at Epcot. So far, Walt Disney World is not getting an Avengers campus, but I think that's because they're putting more stuff into Epcot right now, like all their attention is focused on that.
And they're going to have another little other new little thing there.
Oh yeah,
that's right. Star Wars related.
Moana, so they're getting a Moana ride.
Yeah, on Moana and everything else. Yeah, I mean that's cool.
Epcot's
that's
getting good. A lot of love right now, which I'm on the one hand I'm pleased about, because Epcot's always my favorite park because it was like one of the first parks I ever went to. On the other hand, I'm a little bit my Disney nostalgia sometimes goes, aw, like, but I liked it how it was. That's the problem of being a Disney parks fan is you don't fall in love with anything, because the only thing you can count on is change.
It doesn't last forever. Yeah. Yes.
So yeah. So lots of exciting stuff coming from parks. And if you were also a Star Wars fan, you should look into the Galactic Cruiser. There's a whole amazing thing that they're doing that no one I think has ever done before. That they should look into.
Which is it's gonna be
that's gonna be something that we've never seen before
and not cheap, but what do you want, right? This is how it is.
So yeah, so that's it for the park stuff. So what do you have from the realm of toys, my friend?
So there were a couple interesting things. Sideshow and Hot Toys. It's from Hot Toys, but Sideshow is also the distributor for it. You know, Hot Toys makes these incredible 12-inch, basically 1/6 scale action figures, and they released their new Endgame Captain America that looks outstanding. It's Captain America from the final fight.
Ooh, does he have the hammer?
He comes with the hammer. Yes. He even has the Tesseract for some reason. Who knows why? He comes with a shield and a broken shield. He comes with lightning bolts. He comes with Loki's staff. It's the, let me put it this way. It's the Captain America 12-inch action figure. It's the definitive one. He's got the mask. He's got it's everything. It looks fantastic. It even comes with the little translucent blue like lightning pieces that you can put over the hammer.
Oh, that's cool.
It's mind boggling. I don't know if they released a price, but it's Hot Toys, so it's going to be like $200.
Well, of course.
It's not cheap, but it's I mean, again, this is the definitive 12-inch Captain America. Okay, so Marvel Legends, I know I talk about them a lot. They're the cool, like, 5.5-inch, the Black Series from Star Wars sort of version. They just announced an Alpha Flight set.
Ooh, really? Like,
yes.
Classic Alpha Flight?
Classic. The six figures, Vindicator, Aurora, Northstar, Shaman, Snowbird, and Puck.
Okay. Wow, nice.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's just totally interesting. And they look amazing. The figures look fantastic. So that was cool. And then the only thing I saw that was really neat, I didn't get the manufacturer of this. This could be a Disney store thing, or I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But this little cool, it looks to be about 12, 14, maybe 16 inches high, a fully programmable animatronic Iron Man statue.
Oh,
that is plastic, and he's kind of like the egg. There's a Japanese toy maker that makes these Star Wars and other figures that are they're like, for some reason they're always mentioned like some sort of like egg shaped, a big head but like a smaller body, like the Shogun, like Stormtrooper statues we've seen at different like Comic Cons. So it's a kind of a weirdly contorted Iron Man. However, everything lights up. His arms go up and down. He turns his head. And apparently it's like app enabled, and it's kind of like the remote controlled BB-8s that you saw that Sphero came out with. But this is just a really, really cool Iron Man for your desktop, which I did think was really kind of neat. Useful?
Nice.
I don't know. But it was really cool.
Is bringing joy a use?
No, then it's of course useful. No. Not none of my action figures around me say that right now. So, that was the main stuff that I saw, at least that was Marvel related. I'm assuming, you know, a lot of stuff is going to hit the stores in the next couple of weeks because the Nano Gauntlet, the big one, the $100 Marvel Legends one, that one should be hitting shelves like between now and after Labor Day. So you've got a lot of that. There's another Endgame wave of figures that are hitting. Everything's hitting because it's, guess what, everybody. It's almost Labor Day, which means it's almost Halloween, which means it's almost Christmas time.
Are you saying that winter is coming?
Oh, and here in Arizona, not a moment too soon.
I know. Still 120 degrees. They in terms of merch, they also have started selling the new Marvel Land things in the parks too. So you can actually buy Avengers Campus T-shirts
Of course you can.
Disney's never gonna let an opportunity like that go away.
Well, I never would have thought. I know when we talked about D23 like a couple of months ago, never would have thought this would have been the stuff we'd be talking about.
Yeah, and we watched a video of walking the floor and the sheer amount of floor space that Marvel had there was pretty amazing.
No, it's the tentpole. It really is. I mean, and you know,
yeah, because I mean, obviously Star Wars is a big deal, but after next year, Star Wars sort of becomes a television thing for a while, but Marvel is going to be doing both.
This is exactly right. This is we've never seen anything like this. Anything like this.
We'll get a Pixar movie a year. We'll get a Walt Disney animated movie a year. And now we're getting three Marvel movies.
In some years, we're getting three.
Still. Two or three, but at least two at this point. Two is
and TV shows.
And TV shows. And TV shows in the interim. So I think right now we have the next thing that happens is Black Widow. This will be the longest drought of Marvel content we'll have. Well, actually, no, I take that back because we don't know exactly when Falcon the Winter Soldier premieres. I assume it will be next year.
I think it's going to be. I wouldn't be surprised if it's early.
It'll be Christmas.
I think it's going to be early next year.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. Early next year. So this will be the longest drought we'll have of new Marvel content. Once Falcon the Winter Soldier hits, then it's just like every other month there'll be something.
The cool thing is now we have, well, the one, there's going to be no lack of news because there's production news now. There's going to be a lot of production casting. News.
Lots of casting is going
to
be coming.
So no, this is totally exciting. It's awesome.
I think we might try and have to try and make the trek out there next year, because it seems like D23 has now become ground zero for Marvel stuff.
It really, you know, that's what it definitely seems like, which again, still begs your question.
Mm-hmm.
When does a Marvel Con happen?
Right? I think at this point, D23 is a Marvel
Con. Yeah, but you know, like, I mean,
I know. But yeah, but to really do what they do for Celebration, yes, and have the actors out and autographs and photo ops and panels about it, and I mean the whole thing. I think that the time is drawing near, especially when you're going to have the television, because the television series are going to add so many more actors.
Well, not only just that. Think about what a Marvel Con would look like. You would have panels out your ears,
right? And if you do it in California, they're all there. Like, that's where you're shooting the majority of the stuff that isn't in Australia. It's shooting there.
And could you also see? Okay, wow. I don't want to just. Could you also not just see that? If they did it in a way that helped to give a resurgence to comic books, like, you could change.
Because Marvel Comics had a panel there too.
And work all that together. Like, look, you know, if you think these shows are great and you think these movies are great, well, guess what? Mm-hmm. There's this too. Like, it's going to happen. Because you know why? Yeah. There's money to be made and good stories.
And good stories. Yeah, and Disney has never learned to let both those things go to waste.
This is true. Oh, awesome.
So, yeah, think of all the exclusive merch. So tons and tons of exciting things happening at D23. So it's pretty amazing how much stuff is coming down the line that it doesn't feel like it's going to be waning off anytime soon.
Well, good
stuff. I want it now.
I know. That was no, that's great.
So, all right. Well, thank you all for listening. We'll be back further with when more Marvel news breaks, and we have some pretty exciting, some fun ideas of stuff we're going to do as we go through. So, we will see you further on up the road.
Bye.